Let me give you my pep talk again about our renovation. I understand that for many it is a problem. And I'd like to give a personal testimony. Ms. Plumidor is going to get a drink and there is no water in this end of the building. So she was going toward the gym and didn't quite make it. And kind of banged her knees up. So if you're going to go to the gym, don't fall down, okay? No, but hopefully she'll be back on her feet soon and be all right. But again, attitude is important. We are moving toward improvement. Now there's going to be some problems in the interim, but what's coming's good, all right? How many of you are tired of getting wet when you get out of your car? Sure you are. Well, we get that nice drive under out there and you guys are still going to get wet, but at least the women will be dry. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. Just heads up there, guys. When it's raining, you guys are going to say, hey, dear, why don't you drive tonight? I'll just ride shotgun. Yeah, we know what you're up to. But obviously, the bathroom facilities will be improved dramatically. All this is good. It's going to take 4 or 5 months to get there. And we really, to be honest with you, don't know what you're going to face every Sunday when you come. This week, we're able to use the whole lobby. Next week, we may have a path that we all walk in one by one. You never know. But you hang in there and be positive about it. This too shall pass away, as my history civ teacher said. And it did, and you'll do fine, all right? So let's be positive about it. I tell you, and I'm not going to preach tonight on Thanksgiving. I've been teaching that in Sunday school. But I tell you what, folks, attitude is everything. Attitude is so much. Your focus is crucial. The 12 spies all saw the same thing. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 had a good report because their focus was on God. Boy, your focus is crucial. It really is, and that's not the message. Maybe it should be. You say, I wish it was. We could pray and go home, but it's not. Psalm 121, let's pray. Lord, bless this time as we open your word. Lord, your spirit can take your word and minister to our hearts. And that's our desire tonight. Lord, we want to exalt you, and we pray that you would bless our time together. May we be helped from your word. May our faith be strengthened. May we run to a Savior who wants to help in time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I asked this question this morning. I'll ask it again tonight in Sunday school. How many of you are traveling this weekend or this next week? How many are traveling? Raise your hand high. Very good. How many are traveling some in the next month or two over Christmas? At some point, you're all traveling? Okay. How many of you are too poor and you can't go anywhere? Okay, there's a lot of us there. Okay, good. That's good. By the way, if you're traveling this week, good news, you'll not be alone. 42.5 million people will be traveling with you. Isn't that exciting? Now you want to stay home. Several years ago, we were down in Florida over Thanksgiving and made the mistake of, it's about a 14-hour drive, and so we decided to split it up. We drove to, I think, Jacksonville Saturday night, decided to drive the rest of the way home on Sunday. What a mistake. From the Georgia-Florida border to Asheville, it was bumper to bumper, and it was raining. And people were wrecking. It was horrendous. I guess why you shouldn't travel on the Lord's Day, isn't it? But at any rate, I want to help you folks who will be traveling. We're going to look tonight at a traveler's psalm, a pilgrim psalm, if it were. Now, the good news is you say, well, I'm not traveling, Seaman, can I go home? Well, this will help you too, all right? It's for all of us, because we can find out when we're traveling, there are some very serious dangers. And we need help in our travels, whether it's a physical travel or a travel through life. And this is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121. Years and years ago, Sarah, our oldest daughter, in a Christian school, memorized this psalm. And I remember that time. She and my wife memorized it. And I think I kind of learned it by osmosis, just by listening to them say it over and over again. But it's a great psalm. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I like to read it together. Okay? So we're going to read the psalm together. And we'll be a big class here, and we're going to read Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Isn't that a great psalm? probably my favorite verse is verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Now, the simple matter of fact is, we all need help. Some of you really need help, I tell you. And there are times in life when we need help, and we'll talk about that in a moment, our need for help. But there is one true source of help. And the psalmist tells us that is the Lord, Jehovah. He is our help. And I want to help you see that tonight. Number one, our need for help. Do we need help? Well, now, if this is a traveler's hymn or a traveler's psalm, I want you to transport yourself back probably 4,000 years, and think about what travel was like in Judea at that time. It's a very hilly country. They didn't have any four-lane interstates. May have been safer, I'm not sure. Didn't have the nice cars and all the airbags and all those things. They basically walked. Walking through hilly country, very treacherous trails and roads, very dangerous travel. All kinds of problems they could run into. In fact, there's a story in the New Testament that tells us about the danger of travel. Can you think of what it was? What's that story is? The Good Samaritan. Very good, Kathy. You get an A today. The Good Samaritan. And here was a man who was traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves. That was one of the dangers. They had no protection. They're walking through these valleys and these hidden places, and there's rocks all over the places, and the criminals could jump out and could attack you and beat you and rob you. It was very dangerous because of disease. There's possible all kinds of things that could happen as they were traveling. Very treacherous roads, very dangerous. And can you see that person as they're traveling along? And they're coming to a dangerous section in the road, and they say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And they're traveling along, and they're looking to the Lord for help. Now, the simple matter of fact is, every one of us today has areas in our life that we need help in. There are things in life that threaten our security and threaten our livelihood, that threaten our health. We have, I know one of our ladies is going tomorrow for a PET scan. One of our ladies had a scan this week, and praise the Lord, there's no cancer. Praise the Lord for that. Was it 2 years in a row, or maybe two years, no cancer. Praise the Lord. But there may come a day when you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I've got bad news for you. Boy, do you need help in a time like that? Oh, my. There's disasters, the possibilities of disasters. Hurricanes, we don't face those a whole great deal here. Tornadoes, we've had a few lately. Things are changing a little bit. Floods, fires, earthquakes, all of those things are possible things that can come into our lives and have great disasters. There can be accidents. How long does it take for an automobile accident to occur? Isn't that amazing? You could be driving down the road and boom. That lady who's on the cell phone putting on her makeup and drinking coffee. It's always ladies, of course, never men. And boy, your life changes just like that. Isn't that amazing? Life changes. Criminals, they're obviously everywhere too. There's great physical danger. You know, the simple matter of fact is we all will have great physical needs at some point in our life. But what about spiritual needs? Do you need help spiritually? Oh my. Think of the three great enemies of your soul. The first enemy of your soul is yourself. Isn't that encouraging? I've just been telling about all the terrible things that can happen to you, and now I'm going to tell you how bad you are. What does your flesh want to do? It wants to control you and corrupt you. Did you realize that every moment of your life as a believer, the Spirit of God and your flesh are battling? Right now they are. Your flesh is saying, what are you doing sitting here with this bald guy? You know, you could be at home watching football or something or doing something exciting. And your spirit says, no, I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I'm supposed to be here. See? In fact, in Galatians 5, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Then these are contrary one to the other so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Have you experienced that battle in your life? If you're a believer, you have. The Apostle Paul, one of the most spiritual guys in the world, did. Read Romans chapter 7.
things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. Why? The flesh. And if you let your flesh control you, you look at Galatians chapter 5 and you'll see 17 different terrible sins that are going to take over your life. And then, by the way, at the end he says, and such like, just in case you missed one. In every moment of your life, your flesh is battling against you. Can you not sing with the songwriter, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Folks, when will the battle between the flesh and the spirit end? When I was younger, I used to think, you know, well, when you turn 50. Piece of cake from that point on. Got bad news, I'm 51, didn't happen. When you turn 60, when you turn 70, when you turn 80, when does it happen? When you die. That's when the battle ends. Your whole life you've got this battle. And not only are you fighting the flesh, you're also fighting the world. The world is trying to pressure you and conform you and make it like itself. What are commercials about? You've got to have that. You won't be happy. You've got to have it. If you don't have it, the world is constantly trying to pressure us. Why? Well, they don't like us. They don't like people who do right. It convicts them. By the way, aren't you excited about Tim Tebow? How many know who I'm talking about? Oh, most of you do. Some of you don't. You don't care about sports. He's a quarterback for the Denver Broncos, my wife's team. She's so excited. The media has been giving him havoc. They have been raking him over the coals. You know the main reason? He's a Christian. An unashamed, unabashed believer. I've read his autobiography. It's tremendous. If you want something good to read, guys, and you're a football fan, read his biography. It's tremendous, his book about himself. And there's a lot of football in it, but he has a very clear testimony. Why is the world so opposed to Tim Tebow? Because he is a believer. And he's not ashamed for others to know it. I don't know if they always do it. I know in some of the college games they do it. But I noticed after the game the other night, after Denver won, isn't that right, dear? Exciting. That he was coming out and they were going to interview him. And there was a group of guys in the middle of the field praying. And he left the interview and he went to pray. And I thought, way to go. Mock him all you want. He's taking a stand for Christ. The world hates Christians. It hates right. So you got your flesh, you got the world. Hey, you got one more. You got the devil too. And the Word of God says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy you. So here we are, folks. We've got these three great enemies of our soul. And we're battling against those things all the time. That's why we need help from heaven. So, first of all, our need for God's help. Secondly, the nature of our help. And we're going to see that here in this passage. Our help is identified for us here in this first and second verse. And it is not you. You see, when we have trouble, the first thing we want to do is rely on self. Oh, I can handle this. I've got experience. I'm a smart guy. I know what to do. That's rather humanistic, by the way. A humanist says, you know what? You have the power within you to do anything you want to do. The answer for your problems is you. No, the problem is you. See? The answer is not our own self-will or our own ability. In fact, it is not even the power of positive thinking. Now, it may help your golf game. That hadn't helped mine. It probably won't help yours either. It won't help you in the spiritual battles either. Won't do it, folks. You are not strong enough to fight the devil. You are not strong enough to defeat your flesh, and you're surely not strong enough to defeat the world. It's not going to work, folks. It is not human dependency. It's not yourself. It's not anybody else. I hope you're not here tonight and you say, my hope is found in Washington, D.C. If it is, you got bad trouble. That's what they want you to do, by the way, because the more you depend on them, the more they control you. That's another sermon. I have been helped by many people in my life. I have wonderful Christian parents. I have wonderful Christian brothers and sisters. I have a wonderful wife. have wonderful children, a wonderful church, a wonderful pastor and preacher, and I've got folks that have helped me all through my life, but the simple matter of fact is there will come a time in your life when none of those people can help you. They'll pray for you. They'll try to encourage you. But man's efforts and help, they are all finite. They all have an end. So the Word of God says in Psalm 60:11, vain or empty is the help of man. So if it's not human, there's only one other source, and that is divine. This is a great thing, folks. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, and that word Lord is what? Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existent one. This is a great name of God. This is wonderful. You know what God depends on to exist? Nothing. Now, we're not like that. What happens to you if you are deprived of oxygen for 10 minutes? The brain cells you have left, you won't have any more, okay? You will die. We are not, if you don't eat and drink for after a certain amount of time, you will die. We are not self-existent. Our existence depends on other things. Hey, Jehovah God's dependence or existence depends on nothing. You say, so what? Well, that means no matter what comes down the pike, he's still God. See? Nothing changed. He cannot be changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here is our helper, Jehovah God. When he says, I will lift up to my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help cometh from Jehovah. God, who is self-existent, who depends on nothing for his existence. And then he describes this help that God gives to us. Notice in verse 2. A small phrase, but boy, it's powerful. My help cometh from the Lord, number one, a powerful helper who made heaven and earth. Now, you've known that since you were 4 years old, if you were raised in church. But what does it mean? Everything you see, God made. God made. You go to the ocean. Who made it? God did. We were just out in Colorado visiting my in-laws, and you go up in the mountains of Colorado, went up to Vail, and you drive around, and you see all these huge, massive mountains and these beautiful lakes and all these things. Who made it? God did. God did. God made it all. He made all the plants, every one of them. I was born in Eureka, California. When I was born, my mom said, Eureka. Not really, that's not true. Eureka, California is in the midst of the redwoods. You want to see something massive. You go out to Northern California, see the redwoods. Some of those redwoods are 300 feet tall. What do you know that's 300 feet long? Football field. Can you imagine a tree as long as a football field? Weigh over 1.6 tons. Some of them over 2,000 years old. Those are some massive trees. How'd they get there? Well, they started out as a little thing, and then they evolved into something else, and then they evolved into something else. And you know how they got there? God spoke, and they were there. Isn't that amazing? Everything that in this creation, God spoke it into existence. Wouldn't you love that, housewives? You go to clean your house, and you say, house, be clean. And poof, it's clean. I was working yesterday, one of my brake cylinders on my car exploded, the rear wheel. Thank you, Todd. It's all his fault. No, he told me it happened. What a mess. What a mess. And I spent time cleaning that crazy thing. And wouldn't it be great just to stand back and say, car, be fixed. That'd be some power, wouldn't it? You'd come to see that, wouldn't you? How did God create this world? Talk about power. God said, you know, I think it'd be nice to have some stars. How about maybe a sun would be nice? Probably would be good to have some planets, moon. You know, it'd be nice to have some water. Maybe we should separate the water a little bit. We'll put some land over here. We'll put some mountains over here. Put some valleys over here. I mean, God just spoke it, folks. Now, look, when you're needing help, wouldn't you like to have help from somebody who can do anything? Who spoke creation into existence, and not only did he speak it into existence, this is not in this passage, but we also know that by him all things are maintained. They all or sustain. It all is held together by God. Now that's power. That's power. And the psalmist is saying, you know what? The one who is my helper is one who has no limits. I love Psalm 115:3. It says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Man, that's power. We have a powerful helper. But notice also, not only a powerful helper, but in verse 3 through 6, we have a protecting helper. Look in verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. That's Jehovah. The Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. My, what protection. And his protection proceeds to every step. Now remember, we're talking about people who are traveling by foot. They're traveling by foot. They're walking along the edge of a precipice. One wrong step, and what happens? About to fall off. And they're saying, the Lord is the one who's keeping me. The Lord, he will not let my foot slip. God's not going to let it slip. God's there to help me. That's the kind of helper we have, folks. The Word of God says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Now, that's the verse we usually quote, but what about the next verse? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Well, that's the kind of help I want. When our children were smaller, we'd walk different places and we would hold their hand. It wasn't them holding our hand. That's not very secure, is it? Because they're not very strong, but we could hold their hand. And when trouble comes, you can pick them up and you can grab them and you can protect them. And just think about the traveler going along, traveling through life, being held by God's hand. Wow, that is the kind of help we need, folks. That's security. And notice another description of this help here. He says, he that will not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee, that's a neat word. It's the idea of a garrison, to be garrisoned about by a powerful helper who's all around you, who's protecting you and keeping you. In Psalm 139 and verse 5, it says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. So we got the front and the back and the top. And then in verse 10 it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's pretty secure, isn't it? That's the kind of help that we have, folks, that we can have from our God. Did you realize that if God is holding you, for the devil to get to you, he's got to do what? He's got to go through God. For people to get you, they've got to go through God. Now we saw that, by the way, in what man's life in the Old Testament? Job. And God is holding us and helping us. And that's why in Hebrews 13, Paul could say, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, this is great, the Lord is my helper. And if the Lord's your helper, why are you afraid of anything or anybody? Wow, what a great help we have. Notice the watchfulness of the protector. It says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, how many of you have ever been driving down the road, maybe late at night, and your eyes, you're driving along and you're jerking. Have you done that? Come on, be honest. How many of you are liars? Raise your other hand. Okay, no, we used to drive back and forth to college, and we drove from Twin Falls, Idaho to Greenville, South Carolina. It's a long ways, 2,400 miles. And we would have a car full of college kids, and we'd get in the car, and we'd take off, and we wouldn't stop till we got home. It took us 48 hours. Everybody wanted to drive in the daytime. No one wanted to drive at like 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's terrible. We had one girl, she was driving. She woke up on the exit ramp, you know, just driving along. And, oh, wow. Thankfully, the Lord protected us. Let me ask you a question. Now, all of us have had that trouble. You know, we're watching over, maybe even a mother with a child, and you're watching over the child and trying to make sure that, you know, the child has a temperature, and you're sitting there watching over the child, and all of a sudden you fall asleep. Aren't you glad that your helper never sleeps? There's never a time when you've got a problem in your life and you say, oh, God, hey, I got a problem. And he's asleep. He's always awake. He's always alert. He's always there for you. He never sleeps. He's always aware of what's going on in your life. A story is told about a ship that was traveling from Liverpool to New York. This was many years ago. And the captain of the vessel had his family along with him. They were traveling along to New York. And had a little girl, had a daughter, and they were asleep down below, and a huge storm came up, and the ship was shaking, and folks were fearful, and they woke the captain's 8-year-old daughter up, and oh, they were all nervous, and she said, is Daddy on the deck? And they said, he is. She said, well, if Daddy's at the wheel, everything's going to be okay. She went back to sleep. Now, believer, that's how we ought to be. Your father's on the deck. Our choir sang this morning, our God still reigns. Now, I know that as believers, there are times when it doesn't look that way. And we look at our life and we say, how could, if God is the loving God and God is good, how could this be? See that's where faith has to come in. And we have to say that the Word of God says God is good. And if the Word of God is true, then God is good. And the Word of God says that God is in control. And we have to say, look, I know He's in control. I know He's good. And I'm going to trust Him in the trial. Is that easy? No. But it's what the Christian life is all about. Walking by faith. The poet said, fear not the windy tempest wild, thy boat they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child, thy father's on the deck. Isn't that great? So we have a powerful helper, a protecting helper. And then finally, in verse 7 and 8. That's the word you always like to hear from a preacher, isn't it? Finally. There it is. Verse 7. We have a preserving help. Here it is. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. And I like those last four words. And even forevermore. Here is our preserving helper. A helper in this world. There is no doubt that we are on the religious right. And we are faced with the pagan left. And by the way, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And yet, through all of that wickedness and that evil, the Word of God says in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. When they come after you, what should you do? Just keep on doing right. Dr. Bob Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. Just keep doing right. Just keep doing right. God has promised to preserve you and to help you. He said He's going to preserve you from the evil and from the wicked one. We mentioned early on that the devil is after you and trying to destroy your life. But aren't you glad that the devil has already lost? I mean, think about it. The devil has already been defeated. And the choir sang, because He loves me. And on that third day, what happened? Boy, I'm sure the devil must have said, I got him now. Man, I've been working. I tried to destroy him when he was born. I've tried to destroy him in his life, trying to get the people to throw him off the cliff and to destroy him and do all these things. I tried to tempt him to sin. I did all these things and I failed, but now I got him. I got him on the cross and he's dead. And he's in a tomb. The devil thought it was all over, didn't he? Until the third day. And up from the grave he arose. And he defeated the devil. The devil's a defeated foe. In Hebrews 2:14 it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. And that word destroy means to make of none effect. A great story. I think I read it in Frank Peretti's books years ago. A great story. about a family that was out driving around in their car in the summertime, and the windows were down, and little girls in the back seat, and she was deathly allergic to bee stings. And as they're driving around, a bee flies in the back window, and of course she panics, and she's in terror. And the father reaches out and grabs the bee and allows the bee to sting him. And he says to his daughter, "Don't worry. All he can do is make noise now. He's lost his sting." And that's the devil, folks. He's making a lot of noise, but he's lost the sting. The sting of death is gone. The sting of sin is gone. He was defeated at the cross. And the Lord can give you victory, folks, through Jesus Christ over the devil. But I like this. You say, how long is his preservation going to last? Last four words, and even forevermore. God's help is available for you today. But what about tomorrow? New challenges tomorrow, new testings, new temptations, new difficulties. What about tomorrow? Will the help still be there? See, again, man's help is temporary. I love my parents. My parents are 81 years old. They have been a great help to me, but there's going to come a day when they cannot. They will not be here. They'll be in heaven. Their help is temporary. People in this life have helped me, but that's temporary. I've got good news for you. The Lord's help will be there tomorrow. It will be there in the month of December. It will be there in the year 2012. In fact, the Lord's help is available until you get to heaven, and you won't need it there because you'll be with Him. God's help is there for you. Now, just because God's help is there doesn't mean that you're receiving it. You see, folks, I can have someone come to me, and I may have a debt of $5,000. And Matthew Hayes comes up to me. Now, this is obviously a fictitious story. And he said, "Brother Gary, you know, I love you so much that I've got $5,000, and I really want to help you out." And the money's there, and he's offered it to me. And I say, "You know what, Hayes, forget it, son. I don't want your stinking money." And they'd throw me in jail because I couldn't pay my bills, and the money was available right there. Now, folks, God's help is available for you. It's available. Doesn't matter what your need is. God's help is available to you. I want you to stop and think for a moment. What is your immediate need in your life right now? What is that thing that can defeat you over and over and over again? What is that thing that consumes you? It may be a disease. It may be a financial problem. It may be a family problem. It could be a multitude of things. It doesn't matter what it is. I want to encourage you tonight to lift up your eyes unto the hills. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. And look to one who can help you no matter what your need is. The help is available for you. But you'll never receive it until you ask for it, until you trust in Him for it. Isn't it a shame that we as Christians have such a great resource for help? And we go through our lives striving and working and trying to figure everything out. And, oh, if I could just do this, and if I could just make it through this, and if I just had the strength. And the whole time, the Lord is saying, "Hey, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And we just keep on going, and we just keep going, and oh. And the help is available the whole time. You're traveling through life today. And as you travel, you're going to have needs. You probably have some today. I present to you a God who can meet your need, whether it's salvation, preservation, protection, provision, you name it, Jehovah God can do it. That's why Paul said he is a very present help in time of trouble. A present help. And he's offering his help to you. Will you continue to rely on your flesh to resolve your problems? Or will you turn to Jehovah God and allow him to help you in the time of need? That's the decision you have to make. May the Lord help us to lift up our eyes unto the hills, to look above the problem to Jehovah God, and to receive help from heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice tonight in who you are. And Lord, I cannot help but believe that you've laid this message on my heart for folks here tonight who have specific needs, who need help from heaven. And I pray that you would help us as believers to turn from our human efforts and turn to a God who wants to help us, that we can receive help from heaven. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Very simple invitation tonight. We're all church folks here tonight. Do you need help? I'm going to have the ladies play number 87, Just When I Need Him Most. And that for you might be right now. And as they play, if you need help, I encourage you to come, get on the altar, and come to a God who can help you with your need. I encourage you to lift up your eyes to Jehovah God. You come as they play. Number 87. Let's turn there. 87. Let me remind teachers, as soon as we're done singing, we'll meet right here. Teens, if you've not gotten your devotions yet from Brother Bob, he is available there in the back, and he'll have those for you. Number 87, we're going to sing the first and last stanzas, and we'll go home, all right? Let's stand together. If you need to come, the altar is still open. Otherwise, we'll sing these two last stanzas and go. First and last stanza, just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, he is my all.
answering when upon him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Lord bless you. Remember, service, midweek service is Tuesday. Be here for that. Lord bless you. Teachers, come this way quickly, please. You are dismissed.